The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
Good morning. Welcome to Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, a religious community here in Collegeville, Pennsylvania, or as close as your living room with the power of Zoom. I'm glad you're all here today. My name is Ann Rostosky. I'm the Vice President of the Board, and I'm also a member of the Worship Committee, which is why I'm today's Worship Associate. And today we have the pleasure of our member, Angelo Butch Larsenese, as our guest speaker, talking about higher level spirituality. Now I asked Butch what he wanted to be called. He said, Butch, you know, like Cher. Butch, like Cher. So Butch is our speaker today. And I think Butch has a real knack of taking maybe a difficult concept and putting it in layman's terms. So that's what he'll be doing for us today. So whoever you are, whoever you love, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, thanks for being here with us for the next hour or so. And one other good thing, today's National Ice Cream Day. So if you're here, stay after the service for ice cream. If you're at home, I hope you go to your freezer and have some too. And now we will have our chalice lighting.
We light this chalice to find inner peace, love for each other, and faith in ourselves. Also, to be welcoming to whomever we meet and kind to all living creatures. So gather around this light of hope as we share this time together. Yes. Please respond with, when I say may peace be with us, respond within all the people of the world. May peace be with us.
And all the people of the world.
Very good.
Now we will sing our gathering song, Now Let Us Sing. And the words aren't on here except the ones that change each verse, but I think you'll get it at least by the second or third time.
this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. When I get up in the morning and make my list, the first thing on it will be kindness. Spread it to the left, spread it to the right, spread it up to the sky. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. If there's any kind of problem, I'll work it out. Try to be helpful and talk it out. Like the golden sun that gives us light, spread sunshine with my smile. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Good morning, church. Since 2016, churches, synagogues, and mosques in the United States have been losing members at a rate of 1% every year. The idea of a supernatural God that resides outside of ourselves, that can be petitioned to supersede natural law with supernatural law, is becoming increasingly problematic in our modern world. We have stories that indicate that God was around in the past, and these stories are to be evidence of his presence now. One problem with this is that these stories may or may not be believed. Another is, which God? Allah, Jesus, Jehovah, Krishna, the Tao, Buddha nature? The last problem is that stories are things, and things get in the way of spirit. We will explore the idea of a God which doesn't contradict science, a God inside ourselves, a God that can speak directly to us. With both Ralph Waldo Emerson and the Bible as our guides, we might find a spirituality that is a fit for us today. In Luke 17:21, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." In the Old Testament, an angel said to Elijah in 1 Kings 19:11-12, "Go stand on the mountain before the Lord." And the Lord passed by. A strong wind tore through the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, the earth shook, but the Lord was not in the shaking of the earth. After the earth shook, a fire came, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a still, small voice. A still, small voice. God's voice was not in the wind, earth, or fire. God's voice was not outside of Elijah. God was within Elijah. Let me give you an example of one of my experiences of a God inside of you. Let's say you're driving, you and a friend, to a UU church service. As you're driving, you and your friend are having a conversation about something that you and her are interested in. Both of you are engaged. The ride goes smoothly. After about a half hour's drive, you pull into the church parking lot. You pause, thinking, how did I get here? You were so totally engaged in your conversation, but you also stopped at all the stop signs and the red lights, and you turned at the correct turns and pulled into the church parking lot. How did you do it? We have two consciousnesses. There's what I call the spotlight consciousness, which is the consciousness that was focused on the conversation. And then there is the floodlight consciousness that did the driving. The smaller mind that I call the spotlight consciousness deals with day-to-day matters. Since we use the smaller mind more, we tend to think this mind is who we are. The larger mind that I call the floodlight consciousness is filled with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Jesus called this larger mind Father. Let me read an excerpt from Unitarian minister turned transcendentalist Ralph Waldo Emerson from his essay, Divinity School Address. Jesus saw that God incarnates himself in man and evermore goes forth anew to take possession of his world. Jesus said in this jubilee of sublime emotion, "I am divine. Through me, God acts. Through me speaks. Would you see God, see me? Or see thee when thou also think as I now thinkest." In John 10:34-36, the people picked up stones to kill him. Jesus said, "At my Father's direction I have done many good works. For which one are you going to stone me?" They replied, "We're stoning you not for any good work, but for blasphemy, You, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus replied, it is written in your own scriptures, Psalm 82:6, that God said to certain leaders of the people, I say you are gods, and you know that the scriptures cannot be altered. So if those people who received God's message were called gods, why do you call it blasphemy when I say I am the Son of God? Jesus seemed unimpressed with a person's ability to quote scripture. His interest was in a person's ability to hear God's voice. Out of nearly 450 times when scripture speaks of the word of God, only a handful of references imply a written document. In the Bible, the word of God is almost always spoken or heard. In the Bible, the word of God is a voice. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear, not read, the word of God today and obey it. Luke 11:28. He also said, he who belongs to God hears, not reads, what God says. John 8:47. The Apostle Paul wrote, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:3. From Emerson, in his essay, Spiritual Laws, he says, there is guidance for each of us, and by lowly listening we shall hear the right word. Also, God didn't fall silent with the last chapter of Revelation. She continues to reveal herself. It makes no sense to glorify the accounts of our ancestors' encounters with God while dismissing our experiences with her today. This reminds me of a verse in Matthew 7:29, speaking of Jesus. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This situation was perfectly worded by Emerson in his essay, Self-Reliance. If I know your sect, I anticipate your argument. I hear a preacher announce for his text and topic the expediency of one of the institutions of his church. Do I not know beforehand that not possibly can he say a new and spontaneous word? Do I not know that with all this ostentation of examining the grounds of his institution, he will do no such thing? Do I not know that he has pledged to himself not to look at but one side, the permitted side? Not as a man, but as a parish minister? He is a retained attorney, and these heirs of the bench are the emptiest affectation. And a little further down in the same essay, he says, this conformity makes them not false in a few particulars, authors of a few lines, but false in all particulars. Their every truth is not quite true. Their two is not the real two. Their four, not the real four. So that every word they say chagrins us, and we know not where to begin to set them right. Here's another excerpt from Emerson from his essay, Nature. Why should we not also enjoy an original relation to the universe? Why should we not have a poetry and philosophy of insight and not of tradition, and a religion by revelation to us and not the history of theirs? And in Self-Reliance, he says, if therefore a man claims to know and speak of God and carries you backward to the phraseology of some old parish nation in another country, in another world, believe him not. Is the acorn better than the oak, which is its fullness and completion? Is the parent better than the child into whom he has cast his ripened being? Whence then this worship of the past? Further on in that essay, Emerson says, man is timid and apologetic. He is no longer upright. He dares not say, I think, I am, but quotes some saint or sage. He is ashamed before the blade of grass or the blowing rose. These roses under my window make no reference to former roses or to better ones. They are for what they are. They exist with God today. There is no time to them. There is simply the rose. It is perfect in every moment of its existence. Before a leaf bud has burst, its whole life acts. In the full-blown flower, there is no more. In the leafless root, there is no less. Its nature is satisfied, and it satisfies nature in all moments alike. But man postpones or remembers. He does not live in the present, but with reverted eye laments the past, or, heedless of the riches that surround him, stands on tiptoe to foresee the future. He cannot be happy and strong until he too lives with nature in the present, above time. This should be plain enough. Yet, see what strong intellects dare not yet hear God himself, unless he speak the phraseology of, I know not what, David or Jeremiah or Paul. We shall not always set so great a price on a few texts, on a few lives. We are like children who repeat by rote the sentences of grand dames and tutors, and as they grow older, of men, the men of talents and character they chance to see, painfully recollecting the exact words they spoke. Afterwards, when they come into the point of view which those had who uttered these sayings, they understand them and are willing to let the words go. For at any time, they can use words just as good when the occasion comes. Further along, Emerson says, when we have new perception, we shall gladly disburden the memory of its hoarded treasures as old rubbish. When a man lives with God, his voice shall be as sweet as the murmur of the brook and the rustle of the corn. And what about biblical inerrancy? In the Bible, when the Lord said to Moses, if anyone injures his neighbor, whatever he has done must be done to him, fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Good rules for people who had no rules, who let their emotions get the best of them and paid back more than they received. Countering these words, Jesus said, but I tell you, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. God meets you where you are. As Emerson said in Self-Reliance, when good is near you, when you have life in yourself, it is not by any known or appointed way. You shall not discern the footprints of any other. You shall not see the face of humanity. You shall not hear any name. The way, the thought, the good shall be wholly strange and new. Realize that within you is a source of wisdom, creativity, understanding, knowledge, and sense of authority. For as Emerson said, a man should learn to detect and watch that gleam of light which flashes across his mind from within, more than the luster of the firmament of bards and sages. Yet he dismisses without notice his thought, because it is his. In every work of genius, we recognize our own rejected thoughts. They come back to us with a certain alienated majesty. Great works of art have no more affecting lesson for us than this. They teach us to abide by our own spontaneous impression, with good humored inflexibility, then most when the whole cry of voices is on the other side. Else tomorrow, a stranger will say with masterly good sense precisely what we have thought and felt all the time, and we shall be forced to take with shame our own opinion from another. Einstein's formula, E equals mc squared, means that energy and matter are the same thing, that the invisible and visible are identical, that the source of the form and the form are one. Things which appear come from things which do not appear. Life is an unfoldment of form from that which is formless. You were born from the universe. You are the universe looking back at itself. You don't have to believe in a God outside of yourself. Just listen. Learn to differentiate between the thoughts from your smaller mind from the thoughts of your larger mind. You have all the answers for living inside of you. Put your arms around yourself and say, I love me. Say it again, I love me. One more time, I love me. You got this. I know you got this. Have a good week.
Thank you, Butch. That's a lot of stuff for us to think on from your message. Each week, we leave time in our service for matters of the heart. This is a time when you can share a joy that's lifting you up or a sorrow that's weighing you down with the members of this community. And we will begin that in a little bit. We have a hybrid service today with people both here in the sanctuary and people on Zoom. So we will accommodate both groups of people an opportunity to share in just a minute. While you are pondering and gathering your thoughts, we have a musical interlude for you. This is called "Find a Stillness." It is a Transylvanian hymn tune with lyrics by Carl Seberg. So take a listen to this for a minute or two, and once we come back from that, we will give you more instructions on how to share for matters of the heart. Okay, if there are nobody else online or here in the sanctuary, then we will bring this time of sharing to a close. We're going to do it a little bit differently. We normally sing Spirit of Life, but today we are going to go a little bit off the board, and we are going to sing Blue Boat Home by Peter Mayer. It's one of our favorites, I think. So this will begin in a second, and the lyrics and everything should be up on the screen for you.
Please rise as you're willing and able.
To the waves upholding me, hail the great winds urging me on. Greet the infinite sea before me, sing the sky my sailor's song. I was born upon the fathoms, never harbor or port have I known. Wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue boat home. The wide universe is the ocean I travel, and the earth is my blue.
And we're awfully early, but that gives us more time for ice cream. So our closing words today, as we extinguish the chalice, are from Maggie Lovins, "Move Through the World in Love." We extinguish this flame, but not its meaning and mission in our hearts. Our time together has come to an end. Go in peace. Be of service to one another. And may you move through the world in love for all of your days. Our closing song is "Voice Still and Small," and then we will have announcements.
still and small, deep inside all, I hear you call, singing. In dark and rain, sorrow and pain, still singing.